Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And so do you work?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's like Nate McMillan's old phrase, like, you know, the fingers are connected. You know, we have to have connection, like our, like in a fist instead of it's in a mitten. You got to have that connection there. I don't know.
So do you wear mittens?
No.
Okay. God, no. Only Abe.
Yeah.
I mean, only Abe and my one-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I have a...
I'm an adult there. I got to use my fingers. I got things to do.
Yeah, it's hard to get in Twitter fights with mittens on. Yeah. Although, I guess you got your thumbs available. I don't know. All right, so you were up there today. You were up there today for Terry Fontenot. And we will get to the college football part of it and Ohio State and all that. But for me, the kind of the most interesting thing was his commentary on Kirk Cousins. Obviously, we knew he was going to talk about it. It makes sense the way that he's answering the questions. But what did you take away from what Terry Fontenot had to say about Cousins and his future?
I think it's what I expected, certainly, and probably what a lot of people expected. Honestly, I was kind of a little disappointed by the press conference. I just don't think we got a lot of answers or real kind of like honest reflection from Terry. It's a lot of the same things that we've heard. You know, we develop and you know, our players' progression here, who we have on the roster. Kirk's going to be, you know, the backup quarterback, and he kind of explained that whole situation, which is just kind of a reiteration of what they were saying when they first made those moves. Obviously, it hasn't transpired the way they wanted, but I hate to say it, but I just don't feel like we got anything really out of that. And, you know, it leaves you wondering, you know, like with the coaching staff, for example, you know, what's the situation there? He was asked directly about the defensive scheme the team used this year, and it was just a lot of, you know, that's what the process we're in now, is evaluating that stuff. And so we've had an opportunity to talk to Raheem and Terry this week, and unfortunately, I don't feel like we have a lot of answers to a lot of the burning questions that people have who follow the team and pay good money for tickets and other things.
Okay. When you were going up there, when you and all the media were going up there for both these press conferences, did you expect anything different, Joe?
It's like, you've talked to Terry before,
yeah,
right?
I'm really curious. Like, did y'all expect, like, for your question, because what you just said was very valid. It's very,
right,
very valid.
Totally valid.
But did you expect them to come out and maybe give y'all that?
I was thinking that exact same thing, and I was when I was in my car on the way home, so I was kind of like stewing on it, and I was thinking, you know what, maybe I probably did get my hopes too high up about, you know, us getting an actual answer to some of these questions as to, like, why Kirk Cousins fell off. That's the one, to me, that just drives me crazy. Yep. It's the question that I asked Terry directly, which is, you know, why, like, how did this fall off happen? And all the only answer we've gotten from Kirk, from Raheem, from Terry, it's just like a shrug of the shoulders and like, I don't know. That's basically the extent of the information that we have.
Like, everybody's saying that.
But maybe they don't. Like, isn't it possible that nobody knows? Like,
give me something. Andy, give me something. Give me, we could have done a better job coaching.
Okay.
I don't even care, but like, I just feel like I'm being lied to when they just shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know.
I'm saying it's so weird. Like, it was such a weird, almost unprecedented fall off mid-season that it's possible that they are seriously stumped about it. Like, I think Kirk knows. Kirk has to know. He knows his body better than anybody, and he's been in the NFL for a long time. But like, maybe they don't. Like, maybe it's really I'm not sure.
I don't think they're stumped.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're stumped.
What do you think it is? What do you think it is?
I think that they, well, you know, like, it's interesting. I was actually watching back some Bijan highlights, like his season highlight video yesterday, just because I needed something good in my life to, you know, to kind of soothe the soul. And anyway, you know, it was just like his season highlights, starting with game one, going in chronological order. And it was striking to just kind of see, even in the runs and, you know, some of the passes he caught, but just how kind of limited Kirk was even at that point. And even at that point, you know, he was playing well. They were getting by. They were doing things. And, it remains my contention that I think that defensive coordinators around the league just started to understand exactly what Kirk's limitations were and were able to just, you know, ratchet that up to the highest possible extent and, you know, at the risk of getting burned, but, you know, ultimately those teams were proven correct in approaching Kirk that way because he was not capable of burning them enough where to back other teams off of him and this offense. And so, you know, even an explanation like that would at least be something that makes sense and that would, you know, be understandable. But, like, we haven't heard anything about that other than just, again, the shrugging of the shoulders and kind of saying, I don't know. And the other thing, guys, and I asked Terry specifically about, you know, my question was, you know, was him coming off of this Achilles injury, you know, was that more of a burden on him and the offense than you anticipated when he was signed? And then the response that you get from, again, all these people is he was healthy. He was healthy, but that's not really an answer to the question that was being asked. Like, I'm not asking if in your opinion, he was healthy. It's what I was saying earlier. What was it more of a burden? Because I think that you can just say he was healthy, and that is not really describing the entire picture of what Kirk Cousins was facing this season. Just, you know, having to deal with all the physical issues, and so that's where I get frustrated. You can probably tell in my voice, but.
I can tell.
Honestly,
it's clear. I love it.
You can hear it in your voice, Joe. I think any other things from the presser that caught your eye outside of everything with Kirk Cousins?
There were a couple moments. One, I'm sure if there's like any kind of viral aspect of this press conference, I imagine it will be with our friend Mark Zinno, who was really grilling Terry on the kicking situation. And Terry admitted that, you know, the kicking wasn't good enough. The Falcons had the most missed kicks in the NFL this year at 12. And, you know, they have to address that situation. Now, I would say Terry kind of alluded to the fact that Koo is still their guy that is going to be the kicker, but he did say they're going to bring in competition for him. And so you do wonder how that manifests over the course of the offseason and potentially even into training camp. Do they have two kickers there and have them continuing to compete, you know, all the way up until close to the start of the season? We'll see. But I mean, obviously it's a huge issue that really hindered this team from being the playoff team that it always wanted to be. And then the other one, guys, was, you know, he actually did, I would say that Terry was pretty honest about where Kyle Pitts is right now and kind of, you know, it's not like it's obvious, it isn't obvious to the rest of us, but just acknowledging that the production is not there as you would expect from a player that you invested so much into with the fourth overall pick in the draft. And that, you know, you could just tell that there was some like discontent there with, you know, his performance. And it remains my opinion that I think that he will be traded this offseason. I think we talked about this a couple months ago, but I just think that he, like, with what the Falcons need right now, they need picks. they need picks to help retool this team. And out of the tight end, I think they just need someone who is a different kind of profile player, someone a lot more in the profile of a Charlie Warner who can mainly block for you, catch, you know, leak out and catch some short passes and be a check down option. I think that's more of the kind of style that they need out of that position. So maybe Kyle Pitts best serves them by acquiring value from him via a trade. But, you know, who knows? We'll see.
It also feels like, and this is just me sort of speculating, reading between the lines, that kind of stuff. It feels like it's gone beyond we're frustrated at his production. It feels like there might be a little bit of a rift there, like between them and him and the way that they're talking about it and all of that kind of stuff. All right, Joe, let's talk about something positive, or at least I assume it would be positive. Ohio State's playing Texas tomorrow night. How are you feeling?
Yeah. I'm feeling good, guys, obviously. You know, after how could you not feel anything but positive as an Ohio State fan of these last couple of games? I mean, there are some vulnerabilities for this team, which is that the strong suit of Texas is their defensive front, that defensive line they've got there. And the clear weakness for Ohio State is their offensive line after they lost their center, Seth McLaughlin, at the end of the season there. And he was really an important component. And it took them some time to kind of figure out how to replace him. They've had some moving parts on that offensive line, but it seems like they've sorted some things out. And part of that, I think, in helping kind of taking the burden off that offensive line is throwing the ball more, you know, just air it out a little bit more. And that's what's been so exciting to see. And I am very happy that the nation gets to see Jeremiah Smith in all his glory, because during the season, I was seeing him make – you know, one-handed touchdown catches and stuff against Michigan State and stuff. But, you know, I'm just sitting here watching it on, like, Peacock, you know, and like, I feel like it's happening in a vacuum. And it's really fun to see him kind of, you know, explode on the national scene like this. And because he is just, like, a talent like I haven't seen. There's very few – like, to me, he is up there with some of these, like, rare college talents, like Reggie Bush, you know, these types of players who are just, like, pop off the screen at the next level. And those players – are just so fun to watch. And so that obviously gives me a lot of positivity about Ohio State. And then the other thing that
we don't, sorry,
about them is,
I hate to say it, we don't have time for the other thing. We got hard outs now.
We got hard outs now.
That's right.
Joe, and another thing, Patrick, you're doing an outstanding job.
You're doing, with your updates, brother.
You're doing, yeah, great job.
Hey, get me out of here.
They're very brief. Great work with the Falcons all season as well. We'll obviously talk throughout the offseason. Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys.